Hello, I am Pastor Andrew, and welcome to Lakeside at Home. Before we begin, I want to make two very quick announcements. You can find in our app, which the links on how to get that are below in the description. You can add prayer requests now, and those prayer requests, it's called Prayer Wall in there, are going to be prayed for by the entire community. And we're going to use that in our Sunday worship services that you can join us on either here in person in Northeast Houston or online on our Facebook and YouTube pages. During that, we will pray for those requests that have come through the app. And so if you would like a prayer request to be prayed for, that's a great way of joining in and also being able to pray for others who are in need of prayer. A second announcement is that we are beginning a new series here today. It's a three-part series. It's going to be looking at the gospel and Star Wars. On-site worship and those joining us by live stream are going to be dressing up, and there will be trivia and all sorts of things. But in this particular Lakeside at Home, we're going to keep it relatively straightforward because many people will listen to this in audio version, and so having as much pictures and things like that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. That being said, while I don't think you need to have seen Star Wars for this to make sense, I do think that it will help, particularly if you have no idea what Star Wars is about, which, you know, I thought wasn't a lot of people, but it turns out a fair number of people have not seen Star Wars. And so our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to begin in verse 29. And just to set this up a little bit, Jesus is a young boy. He's a newborn still, and he's being presented at the temple. And a man sees him and recognizes what this boy represents. And he says this, the man's name is Simon. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we call on you to speak to us wherever we might be. Wherever we are watching or listening to this, God, we pray that you speak to us, that you make your peace, your justice, your love, your mercy, your forgiveness deep within us. God, help us to act out of those places and not out of the fear that runs so much of our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hi friends, we are beginning a new series called The Gospel in Star Wars. And you know, I preached this just a second ago and recorded it, and it was just simply way too long for this format. And so I'm going to assume that you do know something about Star Wars. I think I spent too much time sort of setting up Star Wars, but I want to talk about the movie Star Wars, but also what it says about hope, and then also how we can understand the gospel and what Jesus was up about, kind of in light of that, or how we can draw some parallels perhaps to it. And I'll just begin by just saying that I think you know Star Wars, but let me just talk to you a little bit about how influential Star Wars has been. So Star Wars is, of course, a movie from 1977. We're going to be talking about Star Wars: A New Hope, the first movie here in this particular sermon, and then we'll do Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi in the next couple of weeks. But it's been 44 years since that movie was released, and it's still sold a lot, it's still watched a lot, it's still driving a lot of sales. Death Star, Legos, all sorts of things are still being sold and merchandised, and kids are finding out about it for the first time. And so it's a powerful force, even 44 years later after it's released. Just to give you a sense of how influential Star Wars has been, there are political parties in countries that have elected officials in various Jedi parties. There's a Mandalorian party in Delaware. In the census, since about the turn of the century, there have been a movement among some Star Wars fans to put Jedi down as their religion, and that movement gained so much steam that in England, for example, there were more registered Jedis on the census than there were Buddhists or Jews in the country. It's really amazing just how big of a reach that that has. And I think that Star Wars' reach is at least partly because while there have been lots of science fiction movies and lots of movies, that it tells sort of this eternal story, this basic story of hope. And that's what I want to drill in on today. This basic story of hope that is the core of the first Star Wars movie that we call A New Hope is something that was not accidental. George Lucas was very intentional about creating almost a mythological movie. He had read people like Joseph Campbell who talked about the elements that make up mythology and mythological stories. And so you will find that the basic structure of Star Wars about a young boy who is whose parents he doesn't know, but they are secretly kind of powerful people. And then he gets a mentor figure who helps him understand who he truly is. It can be a girl as well in this basic story. So then she goes and confronts evil and then ultimately is victorious. This basic storyline is, you know, Star Wars, it's Harry Potter, it's David and Goliath, it's a lot of stories. It's pervasive in a lot of cultures as well. And so that's the sort of basic mythological structure of Star Wars that's behind the scenes there. And so what I thought I would do is take this well-known, well-beloved series, talk about it, and really pull out some of the themes that in some ways are similar to the Gospels. Later on in the series, we're going to talk about in some places that those really diverge a little bit, but what it can say to us. So at its basic level, this is a story about hope in overcoming evil. The movie begins with Darth Vader and this dramatic entrance with stormtroopers and all sorts of things as they board the Princess Leia's ship and try to get the secret plans to the battle station. You're introduced to Vader, who in many ways represents in his overbearing presence the evil empire that the opening crawl had talked about. And this Darth Vader, who has that iconic mask and that breathing, represents this oppressive power that seems unstoppable. The soldiers are able to mount almost no real defense against Darth Vader as he comes aboard. That unstoppable, powerful evil is something that would resonate with many folks, even if really nothing about the Empire is ever really even talked about, what makes them evil or anything like that. In this verse, they're just the evil, oppressive Empire, and this guy looks like he definitely is part of that. This is a part of the story that folks in Jesus' day may have resonated with quite a lot, because there was a lot of belief that they were living under an oppressive empire, in that case, the Roman Empire, and many people were looking for deliverance, and so you have to assume that many other people were quite hopeless and might have said, well, I mean, even if we want something, even if we would love to be rebels, so to speak, we can't really do anything about this overwhelming power in our life. You may also know what that feels like. There may be a sense that you might have that things just seem to be moving in a direction like a slow motion train wreck or something, is how people will say it. And you wish you could do something, but it just feels like you can't. And that may be a personal situation in your life or even in your heart, a depression or fear that seems to cripple, that you can't seem to beat. And while it's an internal thing, it's very important to you, and it might also be in your relationships, or you might be thinking about just kind of the direction of the world and all of the things that seem to indicate that things are not moving well in the right directions, and you're scared about the future, and you're hopeless, and all sorts of things. That may be where you're at, and so the evil empire, so to speak, may be something that's obvious to you. And that, after a little bit, is where the story will introduce Luke Skywalker. And Luke Skywalker represents the unlikely hero. And the reason why these stories always have unlikely heroes is it sort of lets us know that hope doesn't come from places that we might expect it to come for. In fact, Luke Skywalker describes his planet as this: if there's a bright center to the universe, then you're on the planet farthest from. This is the middle of nowhere. This is Nazareth. This is nobody. This is nothing important. There's no reason to have hope that here would lie any of anything of importance, that Luke would be anybody of importance. There was no reason to believe all of that, and yet That's exactly what's unfolding. The idea of hope coming from unexpected places is, of course, a central theme in the Gospels, because Jesus himself, Gospel of Luke tells us, was born under very humble circumstances. Think of the Christmas story, which is an amalgamation of a couple of the Gospels, the way we generally talk about it, but how they're born to poor parents, that his mother is a virgin, that he's conceived by the Holy Spirit. He has parents that are not his apparent parents in some ways, or a lineage of God and a lineage of David. And so there's all of that similarity, but this main idea that something important and hope can come from places that we don't expect, it's similar there, and it's powerful. Because when fear grabs a hold of us, what does it do? It tells us, it shrinks our world. It tries to tell us that there are no alternatives. All the scenarios have been played out in your mind. All the die have been cast. All the pathways have been blocked. All the doors are closed. When fear grips your mind, it's like that evil empire. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, that's grabbing hold of you tight, and hope coming from another place begins to loosen that grip. Luke himself is someone who is preoccupied with the problems of a teenager. He wants a life free from the kind of farm that he lives on. And he meets this man, Obi-Wan Kenobi, who begins to show that world to him, talks to him about who he really is and how he isn't just a farm boy, that there's something important about him, that there's something unique about him, teaches him about the Force. And he calls the Force, he says, it's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. And he introduces Luke to this larger world, as he calls it. All of a sudden, this idea of hope, this idea of purpose that begins to expand the world, the kind of fear was contracting. There's a famous passage in the gospel where this happens for Mary. So Mary has already consented to basically be the mother of God, and she has this thing, we call it the Magnificat, where what it means for her to be, she is this insignificant woman in many cases, and yet now she is stepping into this larger role, and she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now and all generations will call me blessed. And she continues to talk about what God has done and what God has done through her people. And so her story and who she is expands. And this kind of smallness has now become this larger story. And so this wider world mentality is taking her over. And this wider world is what we call hope when we widen our world. I once helped a professor with a study when I was in seminary, and he was studying the effects of hope with medical patients. And the thing that they were finding out and that the research was suggesting is something probably well known to anyone who works in the medical field, that dispositions really matter for outcomes, and that people who are hopeful people seem to do better in a lot of circumstances. And what this research was talking about is it said hopeful people essentially see more options. That's what it means to be hopeful, to have a wider perspective, to see more options. They called it pathways. So that if a door was closed, there would be other pathways. And you've probably seen that in your life, or known hopeful people who you can say, well, that's not an option. They go, okay, that's not an option, but what about this? What about if I go in through the window or something else? You are always searching for new pathways. The word hope is a word that's talking about people who are always looking for that new pathway, a new wider perspective about what is happening, and holding out that good can still occur and that there's always a way to move forward. Jesus, when he talked about hope, often used a term, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, to talk about that. And he would describe it coming in the night as a thief and coming unexpectedly, sort of to say that it's going to come through pathways that we don't expect, this hope, and that we need to have this wider perspective to understand it. But the thing about hope is, you don't have it until you do. It sounds simple, but there's a transformative aspect to hope, which means that when you possess hope, when your pathways widen, then you are hopeful. And before that, you're not. And so you can live in a world with kind of closed doors and everything's closed and it appears all closed, there appears there's nowhere to go, and then someone opens the door and then all of a sudden everything shifts. We call that new birth, when things shift because of our relationship with God who opens up possibilities. Some of the most powerful stories for me as a pastor have been when people have had their possibilities opened up by Jesus Christ. They have thought that they were in chains. They have thought that their life would go in some direction. They have thought, for example, that alcoholism that had plagued them and their family for generations could only continue. And yet, through Jesus Christ and the hope that comes and the widening of the kingdom of God present in your heart, then all of a sudden other pathways were open. Do you let those pathways open? Do you let God open those pathways in your heart? Because when those pathways are opened, well, then people walk through them. Sometime before Star Wars, our nation was struggling in significant unrest due to civil rights. In a time not unlike now, with a lot of protest and a lot of people that were quite angry, division, things like that. And Martin Luther King, someone who our children are taught about in school, one of the most important figures in American history, gave his famous speech that we call the I Have a Dream speech. And you know all about that speech, about how he talks about, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by their character. You know that speech. And even if you only know that little excerpt, let me just tell you that he doesn't spare the reality when he talks about his dream. He talks about his dream to pull people into that dream, but he also talked about how difficult things were and how hard things were. He was not oblivious to the issues. Believe me, he knew. And yet he called people into that dream. And Clarence B. Jones, who was a former legal counsel, was there when he spoke. And he said this, I had seen Dr. King speak many times in churches throughout the country. But at that march, there was something kind of mystical. He had transformed. Oh my God, something had taken over his body. It was spellbinding. The speech was, in its content, not a profound analysis or commentary. It was the way he spoke and the intensity of how he felt. That he seemed to not just be speaking, but bringing this in. He continues to say a little later that phrase, I have a dream, was a summons to the conscience of America. That King was so taken up by the urgent need for America to become America and to step up to what it was created to be, that he was taken into that hope and almost became a vessel of that hope, is the way he says it. He summoned it in. And people who were there, many people who were there, had their lives changed just by kind of hope knocking in the front door. Letting light in. Back to Star Wars. Slowly, that hope begins to build. First in Luke, as he goes and saves the princess. She's a person of profound hope. One of the best scenes is when Princess Leia is there with Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader, and she talks about the fact that what they're trying to do isn't going to work. They want to build this huge weapon that's going to scare everyone, shrink everybody's world into obedience. Their goal is to make everybody afraid. And she says, the tighter you hold your grip, the more star systems are going to pull out, that fear isn't ultimately going to work. She's a hopeful person. She is standing on this machine of death, and yet she says, this isn't going to work. We are still going to find a way. profound hope from Princess Leia, and that hope also begins to infect others. Luke seems almost destined for it. He seems almost just desiring to hope, but others are not. Han Solo, who is the kind of the pirate rogue figure in the story, he's in it initially simply for the money, and his hope transformation shows you sort of the contagiousness of hope, that when people's world begins to widen, they can't stuff it back into it. And when people encounter Jesus Christ and their world begins to widen and they can't quite go back to the way it was, so he's there in this kind of penultimate scene there. They're about to go attack the Death Star, and he's bringing his money, basically what he's been paid, and he's saying he's out. He doesn't want anything more to do with this. And those of you that know the story know that right at the last moment, when Luke is about to be shot down by Darth Vader, Han Solo comes out again, unexpected hope from a different direction, and shoots Darth Vader's ship, who goes spiraling out, allowing Luke to destroy the Death Star. Hope is contagious when the world widens. Our scripture today came from a part that I'm going to close with, because I love this scene. Because so many of us desire to see in the world the evidence and movement of the Spirit. And when you do see it, when that hope becomes not just an abstract idea, but an actual thing, it's transformative. And so I love this scene when Simon, who's there when Jesus is being dedicated, sees him. He understands who it is. And he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." He has seen it. He needs nothing more. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people, Israel." That hope shines a light in the darkness, that expands our world. Is that hope alive in you? Hear now the benediction. The light of God surrounds you, the love of God enfolds you, the power of God protects you, the presence of God watches over you, for wherever you are, God is.